Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to wrap up this week looking at the letter to the Thessalonians that St. Paul wrote. The first letter is what we've looked at, really just one chapter so far this week, and focusing on a set of themes that if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I think you'd really find them interesting this week. There's just so much gold here in this first chapter that is very much characteristic of the life of the church in history and how the gospel goes forth, how you know when someone's really said yes to Jesus and is coming in the fullness into the life of the church and the church's mission, and the cost that's paid almost every time, and certainly in many places in history, and it continues that way today. And what we're turning away from, what we're turning toward, what we've begun to receive, what we've been called to do, it's all here in this one chapter. It's really beautiful. It's one beautiful example. And the Word of God continues to be just a living stream of life, just for me personally, but for all of us, because this is God's living word. It's God breathed. It's animated by the authority and the presence of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's God speaking to us and showing us what the life of the Christian looks like and what our priorities are. And to see this and welcome it into our hearts is part of what it means to step into renewal. The church needs renewing. The church always needs renewing in history. Why? Because it's inhabited by people like me, fallen human beings, people like you. We need each other. We need the working of the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need the sacraments of the church. We need to align our lives with the Lord's priorities, where He actually becomes Lord of our life. One of the characteristics we've been touching on, I just would like to wrap up this week on, is the reality that for these early communities, as was the case for Peter and all the apostles, and of course, St. Paul, is the cost that they paid to become a believer and an actual living disciple of Jesus. And after counting the cost, the suffering and affliction that they had to endure, the persecution, the rejection, it's a big part of the history of the church. It's unavoidable when the good news of the kingdom and the declaration of the rule and majesty of Jesus and the worldview that Jesus brought to us and an understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the understanding of the reality of the kingdom, the ticking clock that's in the world, and the ultimate destiny of what's going to come at the end of the world. Salvation is being offered between the two comings of Christ. It's the time of mercy, the mercy that flows from the heart of God, the heart of the Father, and flows through His church. Forgiveness, being born again, entering into the body of Christ, becoming temples of the living God, being given power to become children of God, being called directly, personally, seriously, to come forward and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to engage His mission in the world. Not only by the way we live and act, but what we say and do, that we understand that the fallen world comes to new life when it hears the preaching of the gospel. The church is born of preaching, the magisterium reminds us. That's what we see again and again in these letters. And one thing that the apostles and these brothers and sisters who are not themselves apostles, but are new Christians, they understood the value of what they were receiving, and they knew there wasn't anything in the world that could match it. They got it. It was a miracle. That's what the gospel does. That's what the Holy Spirit does in human hearts when the gospels preach with clarity and power and witnessed. They understood that they were trading up, you could say in modern terms, way up from the best that the idols that they served and the politics that they were wrapped up in could ever produce. They encountered the Lord and they were ready to die. That's a freedom that the apostles had and many Christians have throughout history and even now are experiencing it. The beginning of the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul begins with this. He said, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our visit to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the face of great opposition." And he remembered what happened at Philippi. He was arrested, Silas, Paul, stripped of their clothes, beaten with rods, and thrown into prison. Recorded Acts 16. So none of that stopped Paul. That happened again and again with Paul. I just thought it might be helpful just to read a little bit about what Paul writes. He's not looking for sympathy. He's just telling us what he experienced, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "But whatever anyone dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I." He's just putting out his bona fides that he's the genuine article from a Jewish point of view. Verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I am talking like a madman," he said. "I am a better one with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings and often near death. 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I'm under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ knows that I do not lie." 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "We're putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have committed ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships and calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Isn't that mind-blowing? Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. There is so much wisdom in this. And friends, the mystery. I mean, here's a guy, I mean, you think in the United States, look at all the stats that are out there. How many people are bored? How many people are depressed? How many people are living day and night with anxiety? How many people feel like their life has no purpose? I mean, there's people who possess everything, so to speak, that the world gives, and they're depressed. And they spend a fortune going to the therapist to say, "Does my life have any meaning?" I mean, we're getting fooled here by the enemy. You know how? Remember when the enemy tempted Jesus in the desert and said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I can give it to you. Here's the answer: to be happy, to be constantly entertained, to be powerful, to be something. And Jesus, of course, you know, defeated him, exposed the lie. But it's seductive, friends, isn't it? I mean, who wants to exchange all that the devil was talking about for what Paul's describing here? But Paul's saying, yeah, all the calamities and afflictions and hardships that happen, yeah, it's real. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of rejection, all that stuff. But he said, purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. Sorrowful but full of joy. Poor but rich in so many ways, making others rich in the kingdom. Having nothing yet possessing everything. I mean, I think, friends, I mean, my own life, my own flesh, I mean, you think, I think many, many people don't want to get too serious about the mission and the potential cost of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We want a toned down Christianity. We want a Christianity that fits in the world, that leaves me alone. That is, it doesn't cost me anything other than, you know, some service and doing good things to people. But in terms of walking the footsteps of the apostles and the brothers and sisters and what they experienced, there's too much at stake. We have too much we've built, too much we're comfortable with, too much to lose. So we find middle ground. I think that's true. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for our cowardice and our attachments to the world. Thinking of our brothers and sisters from Thessaloniki, you, those who are in heaven, we ask you, you who are so courageous, to turn from idols that dominated your culture, that in a moment made you a nobody and an enemy in your own town, in your own city. Pray for us. St. Peter has words to express his concerns and words in exhortation to the brethren in the context of suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. Suffering for the sake of the gospel, that is. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange was happening to you. But instead rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Man, that is so far away from the normal perception of just being badly treated or ignored or mocked or whatever for the gospel. If you are reproached, this is verse 14, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Spirit that glorifies Jesus, the glory of God. Well, friends, it's pretty hard to be reproached for the name of Christ if we never mention the name of Christ. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or mischief maker. Yet, if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name, let him glorify God. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God be? What will it turn out? Again, Paul thinks about the wrath of God. Peter thinks about the coming wrath of God. He knows that he wants to rescue people from it. He knows if he has to suffer a little bit in order to save people, he's going to do it, because Jesus told them what's coming. And they did it, friends. May we walk in their footsteps. God bless you. Let's pray for one another. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.